Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live. The Edge of Reality here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. Thursday means we're one step closer to the weekend. I mean, I'm not at the weekend. I have a little bit more to go, but we're close.
I am on an extended weekend.
Stop it.
Thank you very much.
Stop it. No one wants to know. No,
right.
You're already ruining this podcast. No. Well, before I say anything else, before I do anything else, I have to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
I'm wonderful. I'm off for the next, 8 days? 9 days? Something like that? I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
No one cares.
I feel late in my
Just kidding. Just kidding. You care, but no one else. No one else.
This is true.
No, I'm excited for you and extremely jealous. What are you gonna do? But we're here. We're here to talk a little bit about everything, reality in general. Lots of shows going on. I don't know if I should just list the shows that I'm happy with right now and the shows that I'm not, you know, but we'll talk about them all. And you guys can always get into the conversation. Twitter is a great way to do that. I am at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. Let's just get right into it. Let's discuss a little bit, brother, shall we? Yes. We made an agreement. You would watch the shows. I would watch the feeds. We would have this covered. Cliff went to OH. We're very excited about this. That did not happen last week. We didn't know who was going to win. Cliff wins HOH. We're like, yes, this is cool. Someone for the first time that's not in the Grateful Alliance, an outsider. And he puts up Jack and Jackson. And I felt like the heavens opened up, angels sang, everybody was so excited. I mean, it is rare in the Twitter universe for everyone to be universally excited about nominees. And when he originally put up Jack and Jackson, I believe I did not see one Twitter comment. I'm sure there were there, but I did not see one Twitter comment that was upset that Jack and Jackson were on the block. Everybody, Priscilla, was excited. I was excited. I am sure you were excited, right?
I was.
And yet that excitement lasted like 24 hours.
Because
Jackson won the veto. Jackson won the veto, and here we go. So Grateful has 8 people in it. The Six Shooters have 6 people in it. You know, there's plenty of people to put up. Oh, no, wait, there's more. Christy has the Diamond Power of Veto. She's threatening to use it. She's threatening to do things with it. Cliff did not want that. So they made a decision. He made a decision that Bella is going on the block. Bella is going on the block. Bella, who in her speech tonight, rightfully so, said, I'm not going to win anything. I can't win anything. And that's accurate. That's an accurate statement. So Cliff takes his wonderful nominations and he turns it into not absorbing the Diamond Power of Veto, meaning Christy doesn't use it, he doesn't at least force her to use it, so it's out of the game. So Christy still has this pretty massive power. And, oh wait, Bella, someone that is pretty much harmless to Cliff. Someone who voted to keep Cliff last week, by the way, just as a little aside, voted to keep Cliff. She's gone. So not a good week for Cliff. Not a good HOH for Cliff. I mean, Priscilla, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is this your assessment as well?
This is 100% absolutely stupid. What makes him think he's saving his game with the six? Because you have the other side that now you've pissed off at this now might put you up too. Dumb, dumb, dumb. You're going to take the jab. You need to go for the knockout.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. He showed his cards. He showed what he was going to do anyway with putting up Jack and Jackson. Jack and Jackson are not going to forget this. Now, if Jack or Jackson wins, and Jack alluded to this in Bella's goodbye message, you know, do I think that Nick and Sam could be in trouble? Yeah, I think maybe Cliff has a target. You know, do I think it's immediately going to be Cliff on the block next week or this week if one of them wins? No, I can see other people in there. But he's very much still a big target. He did not use his HOH week to get into the crowd, you know, and make alliances, make friends. He didn't do that. If anything, they really took on Jess and Kat this week. Jessica and Kat is more ensconced into the six shooters. So they really become, now it's the entire house against Cliff, Nicole, Bella, or Nick and Sam. So Cliff didn't really do himself any favors this week. And I know, man, I believe I said it last week. I'm not here. I'm here for people who truly believe that they're going to win the game. They think that they can win. Not, I just want to stay here as long as I can because my archetype doesn't do well. I know he's the older man in the house. I know that older men tend to not do well. We did have an older man win a season. It was Evil Dick, and I understand that that season was, you know, America's Player was a big, 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 you know, reason why. But still, it's not impossible for that stereotype to go far on their own. But I'm not here for people to just say, I just want to get by another week. I just want to, you know, stay here as long as I can. I want you to win or I want you to leave. And the way Cliff played this week is a great indicator that he's not here to win. He's just there to be there. And that's not cool to me. I like Cliff. He seems like a nice guy. I don't hate him. There's plenty of people in this house that deserve my wrath. And we'll get to them in a little bit, but you know, it just wasn't a good week. It wasn't a strong showing, and it's a shame because he started with such amazing promise. And if there's a situation where one of them wins and they put up Nick and Sam, or if they're scared to put up Sam right away, Cliff's going up. Maybe Nicole, but Cliff's going up. So he didn't do himself any favors.
And
so,
what the hell is he thinking anyways? Because they've already done that with other groups in the house, and they've already screwed them over. You really think they're not going to do that with him? He should have made the deal with Christy. If she used it, then at least you pulled the power. Yes, it's still going to happen. If she didn't use it, you just say, hey, yo, on the chair.
Yeah.
I personally would have for, if you're going to split up couples, split up the actual couples. You know, he should have put Sis up there or Annalise or whatever in the hell her name is.
Her name is Annalise.
Split up. Huh?
Her name is Annalise.
I know.
We never call her by her nickname. Because it's a dumb name.
Because everybody in the family, somebody gets called sis.
Yeah. So let's not. We don't roll like that. So it's, you know, not a good week for Cliff. And I want Cliff to do well.
Such good promise to like, oh, I'm not going to cave to this. You know, you go in with big balls and you fall out with shriveled ones. It wasn't right.
Yeah.
So, very disappointing.
So, yeah. Now, something else I want to discuss about this week. First week of have-nots. Yes, the Camp Comeback Room became a have-not room, and people got have-nots. And one of the people that were have-nots were Jackson. And an underreported story on this podcast, at least, is that Jackson eats more than any human being I've ever seen in my entire life. So much so that there are complete Twitter threads devoted to how much food Jackson has eaten in a 24-hour period. I mean, it is unreal. And he becomes a have-not, and he has done nothing this week but sneak food. Very openly eat food. He does not have a nomination. He does not have a penalty nom. Nothing is absolutely happening to him. But it's not like, I mean, we hear stories of people sneaking things in the bathroom or putting M&Ms under their bed. And, you know, it's so sneaky. It's like maybe or maybe not. You know, but this is blatant. This is just straight up he is eating. Not as blatant as my favorite blatant have not eating, which is Jen Johnson, BB-8, eating a turkey burger and saying, I'm going to, for my next act, I'm going to perform eating, right? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I was mad at the time because I thought she was disrespecting the game, and she was, and I take the rules of the game seriously. But looking back on it, it was probably one of the most fun nights of feeds. It was insane, and Jen was nuts, and she ate a turkey burger like nobody's business. So, you know. I thought, so he's not straight out eating meals, but, I mean, he's eating several things fairly openly, and nothing is happening to him. And this goes to my point, what the hell's the point of have-nots? You know, we've been doing it for the past few seasons. There's no food comp anymore. Now there's just people choose, and for the most part, they volunteer and take turns. Yes, things tend to be miserable. They're in bad accommodations. They have cold showers. They're slop. But everybody gets through it. It doesn't really hinder anyone's game. We haven't seen somebody goes and slop for the rest of the season in a long time. We haven't had anything major or any major drama besides people being a little bit crankier in several seasons. That element, that have not element, is just unnecessary now. It's not needed.
Well, two things about the have-not. One, I would, at this particular season, wouldn't mind being on it because I like the idea of being where the room is at this time. You have a lot of privacy. You can do a lot of
game
scheming.
That's true. Good point.
Going back to Cliff's bad gameplay, why the hell did he put Kat on there when he's trying to get Kat's vote to get one of the guys out.
Yeah.
What the hell is he thinking?
Yeah.
So that makes her crankier and, like, not want to do what you want to do. It made no sense to me. All of them from the six should have been there. Every last one from the six should have been there. If that's who he's going after, he should have punched it.
Yeah, those are two really good points. You're right that the room is it's upstairs next to the HOH room, which you've talked about earlier in the season when it was Camp Comeback, like, that's an interesting place. You can hear the HOH conversations. Now, as I watch feeds, I didn't hear, and that's not saying that it didn't happen, but at least I didn't hear or I didn't see anyone from Camp Comeback make any comments about being able to hear what's happening in HOH. And the HOH conversations are quite loud with this group of people. So if there was a good chance that they could hear something.
David might be a fan now, but he was not. He's not been a feed watcher.
No.
Tammy has only started in the last couple of seasons, so I'm sure she was not a feed watcher. But Ovi, if that were me and I know about that little tidbit, if he's a feed watcher, he'd been had his ear up to that damn wall. I'd have went and got a glass up to that damn wall, and I'd have been up there napping all the damn time. Nobody's going to nobody's going to pop in to see who's in that room. Very rare. I mean, I haven't been watching the feed, but it's kind of an alleyway room where people just don't pop in on you all the time.
True. I think it's very useful for planning and all that kind of stuff. I agree with you with it being out of the way. I don't think you're going to be able to listen and hear what's going on there. So that sucks, but I think it's a good place. Also, like, the beds are normal beds this year too. So it's not even like, they're like cots and they're like not diagonal, but like, you know, at a weird angle.
They're not
they're set up.
Bed.
Yeah, but they're not some of the seasons there, I you could tell that they're terrible. I just think as a game construct, it's unnecessary. You know, it would be one thing if there were food comps and that's what your Sunday night was devoted to and the people who lost ended up there for the week. But now that they're no longer doing competitions related to it, it just doesn't matter who it is. So I would like them to either reimagine it so that it's associated with a comp or associated with some other thing in the house, or there's a vote, like a house vote, or it's a something. But, you know, as it stands right now, I think it's unnecessary. So that's my two cents. I agree with you completely, and I didn't even think about that until you said that. So it's a great point about Kat and Cliff putting Kat there this week, because you're right. You're right. It wasn't a good call for them to do that. I also, in general, not just Kat, because it's a half-not situation, but you're right about putting the six shooters in there instead, because at this point, you know that they're all working together, so let them all talk to each other.
Right.
This gives them opportunities to talk to the outsiders to bring them closer, to even add more numbers.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is add more numbers.
If you're trying to, like, get close with a certain group out of the six, then just put part of them there. But another thing is if they're always up there, they're out of the conversation. You know, when what happens when a household, it depends on the season, late nighters, there's a group of late nighters usually that stay up and they all stay up night talking game for the most part. Some of them get up in the morning, they sit and talk game. So where the location of that room is, if they're always, you know, because when you're on slop, you have a tendency to sleep a lot as well. So not only are you out of the realm, you're not even in the earshot distance to hear the conversations going on. So if you're not there to hear what's going on or to pick up on stuff, it kind of leaves them out of the loop a little bit. Does that make sense? You can form more connections and more gameplay on making a different path through your game by just where the location of that room is. And then on the same token, you know, you're up there. You might not have to be in the room, but you have a good reason to be right out in front of the doorway of the HOH room to know who's coming and who's going, especially earlier on in the game to figure out who's with who, what's going on kind of thing. So, and you don't, and it's not a place thing to do that. You know, you're right by the room. You don't want the room, but you're right there. You don't, it's not like, you're not sitting out hanging out spying like you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I wanted to talk to you about the formation of alliances. Because, and I've noticed this in the last couple seasons, but it's especially prevalent this season. We have, you know, a larger alliance with Grateful and the Six Shooters. But that helps. That side of the house is only half of the people in the house. And there's another half of the house that are completely disjointed, completely not connected with each other.
Stupid for Cliff to do what he did, because now he just offset the numbers more. Dumb!
But this is what I want to talk about. You know, they're completely disjointed. They're not working together, and they have no plans to work together. What is happening? Why does one group always seem to work a billion times better than the other group? It's the same thing that needs to happen. No matter who you're aligned with, especially in the beginning of the game, it doesn't matter if you like them personally. It doesn't matter if you can be friends. All that matters is you work together, you vote the same way, and they don't put you up if they get HOH. That's the only thing that matters. One side, like half of the people always seem to get it, and those people always seem to gravitate towards each other and form an alliance. And then you get these other people who just do not get it ever. And they can never form something. I mean, last year we had groups. We had Falte and we had, oh God, what was Tyler's? The Power of Six or something crazy? I forget what it was. The Friendship, I forget what they were called. I just remember Falte. But
that's Paul. That's Friendship. That was Paul's season.
Well, Friendship was really season 7. That was Maggie. That was Maggie's group, or season 6, rather. It was Maggie's group. But, you know, there were two actual alliances, and they stayed together for the most part, except for Caitlin voting out Swaggy C, which is what, like, screwed up that side completely. But, you know, it was interesting to see that there was these sides, and they went back and forth. And no matter how dumb the people were last year, at least they were equally matched in terms of comps. So anybody could win a comp. You know, people – it was interesting. But beyond that, we've seen seasons where the people, the outliers, the people that were not in a majority of alliance, they could just not get it together and just say – you know what, guys? We need to work with each other. It doesn't matter what's going on here. We need to work with each other. And that was, like you said, that was Cliff's big issue. Cliff is an outsider. He's never going to be in this alliance. It's never going to happen. They are never going to get him to where he needs to be. They're always going to take him out before they take out anyone else. So why even do it? Why even try? You're going to go out anyway. Why don't you go out trying to take someone out instead of just, you know, saying, okay, I'll take out a number for me potentially. It's just an unreal thing that happened. I'm still going back to it because I'm like, they knew. They know exactly who is in this alliance. They know exactly who is working together. No one is lying to anyone with this respect. And yet still, the outliers, who there's still several of them, Nick, Sam, Bella, Cliff, Nicole, Jess, cat, there's still seven people. And one of their people is in power this week.
And the numbers would have been on their side. If you would have put somebody from the six up, the numbers were on Cliff's side. The numbers were two up on the block.
And worse comes to worse. Okay, Christy uses her power, and then Bella goes up anyway. Well, then fine. But then at least the power is gone.
Right. That Cliff, you told me they didn't use the power. I was pissed. I'm like, well, at least pull the power.
At least pull the power. Cliff,
same outcome.
Cliff is down a number. Christy still has the power. Nothing happened this week. I mean, last week, what did we discuss? Jessica being HOH and taking out Ramses that week. When everyone was against her except for Ramses, when she had 12 people to choose from in the house, and she chose Ramses, and you just went, what the hell are you doing, Jessica? This is that. Bella is Cliff's Ramses. That's, you know, you have a million things. They all know that Tommy is playing an incredible game. You couldn't get out Jackson or Jack? That's fine. Put Tommy up there. You know what would be fun? Then you would have to force them to choose between their own. That's only going to cause more cracks, right? I would have loved it. Oh, my God, the best thing that would have ever happened is that Jack and Jackson remained on that block this week. And then the six shooters had to choose between one of them. That would have been great. Then you really see who's on whose side. That would have been awesome. That's what we're looking for now, because we essentially need this group to break apart. And that's when the game is going to, like, truly begin. And the longer we have to wait for it, the longer it is before the game begins. And that sucks. Because we could potentially be waiting, like, 7 more weeks or 6 more weeks, because we'll have a double, for it to really get rolling. And that sucks. We don't want to wait that long.
Right.
If I was a six shooter, God forbid I was Jack, or God forbid I was Christy, or God forbid I was Jackson, I wouldn't want to break up my alliance. I'm doing what I need to do. I mean, they're playing the game the way they need to play it. That's the thing. It's not, you know, you can't even be mad at it. But you're mad at everybody else because they're not in it, yet they're helping them. I mean, Jessica is running around all week giving them information. Jessica, you are not a part of this group. They want you out. Not too long ago, they were putting you on the block. Babe, you are not in this. You are not a part of this.
Want to be one of the cool kids.
Well, that's it. I mean, more than anything, you know, we always talked about, and one of the reasons I absolutely always love this show is that it is a very interesting social experiment. This year, the social experiment has been tainted because Christy and Tommy know each other and Holly and Kat know each other, which was talked about a little bit in tonight's episode. And I'm happy that it was at least brought up, because we knew that Holly and Kat had some sort of connection with each other, but it wasn't fully explained how well they knew each other. And it was explained in tonight's episode that Holly and Kat run in the same circles. They're both beauty pageant girls. They're both models. They said a specific kind of model that I never heard before, but they're both models. The same type of model, and they know each other. They have a lot of mutual friends, but they've never met each other until they got into the house. So they knew that each other was going to be in the house. And they have a lot of mutual. So anyway, my point is, it was tainted this year. It was tainted. People know each other.
I'm watching. Okay, I swear I wouldn't watch the feeds, but this comp looks so intriguing to me. And either Jackson has complete 100% great ab control, because he is not doing the splits like everybody else is doing. How in the hell is he doing this? I have no idea. Or his just isn't splitting like everybody else's. I don't see the cable there. It's moved a little bit. It doesn't even look right. You need to check this out. This is just, and with his oh, and some of the girls at work, going back on Jackson, I'm sorry, I wasn't ignoring what you're saying, that he had a food disorder. I'm like, he has a food disorder, my eye. He's obsessed.
Well, he said as the reason why, because they had a house meeting to talk about him hiding food and eating it, and he said he had an eating disorder. He said that to the group. He didn't talk about it anymore. He just said he had an eating disorder. I don't know if it's documented. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know. I would have liked to think that before. What? But I like to think a lot of things, and Big Brother has let me down on this before, but I would like to think if that was an issue, it would have been addressed before he entered the house. You know, like when people say that they're allergic to slop after they're in the house, and you're like, what the hell? Maybe you shouldn't be in the house if that's the if that's the case. But if he has an actual documented eating disorder, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but if he does, maybe, you know, that should have been thought about before he was in the house and before he could become a have-not. You know.
I agree. And they should also explain it. Especially, but they, sometimes I think CBS likes this backlash from the Big Brother fans about how penalty point. I think it generates, you know, no publicity, bad publicity is better than no publicity kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that is 100% correct. They, everything that gets leaked is leaked by Big Brother. Let's be real. I mean, let's you know, Vegas was a Big Brother person who worked on the set, and whether or not they were given permission to leak things, I don't know. But
right,
you know, it's of course all of the drama, all of this, it just keeps Big Brother in the conversation. So of course that's their intention.
Four left for HOH. Who are you going with? You were back and forth between. There's Holly, Annalise, Kat, and Jackson. I'm going with Kat.
Yeah, I'm still saying Holly.
Okay.
I'm still saying Holly. Before, just to set you up, because this will make no sense if you're just listening to us recorded. HOH is currently going on for endurance. And there's four people left before the endurance began. It looks like it's a balance and endurance and like core stamina challenge. And before it began, I said that Holly would win this. This is something that Holly would be good at. It would be it. This is usually, these type of competitions are women usually do well on these, and Holly looks like someone who would be good at like the balance aspect of it. So
Kat,
that's who I
said. Is a comp beast, Allie.
Kat is. I mean,
Sarah
don't
tell you the comp beast. A comp beast because you came in second.
Don't sleep on Kat. Here's the thing. A Kat HOH I would love, except for, she would take out like Nicole, or, you know, she would do something so stupid with it. At least with a Holly HOH, I know she's going to do something stupid with it, but it's actually going to be smart for her game. Kat's going to do something stupid with it, and it's going to be stupid for her game. So I think, it's true. So for the sake of my, nerves, I want it to be Holly. Because Holly will take out Nicole or Cliff or Nick, and it will be good for her game to do that, because that's what her alliance is doing, and she's actually in a good position in the house, and it works. But it would be absolutely stupid for Kat to do this, and she'll do it anyway, and it will be frustrating as hell. So, Kat tonight, when Julie said, who do you vote to evict? Kat said she was going to vote to evict Mickey, which is Jackson's last name. So she said she was going to vote to evict Jackson, who was not one of the people on the block. It was either Jack or Bella. And it was a very purposeful thing. She knew what she was doing. Her brand, she is very, don't sleep on her. She's very smart. She is doing this for the publicity, and she is going to get it. And I just kind of thought, I understand her brand. I understand that this is something that she wants to do, and she wants to be well known, and things that are great, like the veto, like walking around with the veto and having it tanned, that's funny and great and very on brand. Her are you bitches conspiring against me? Great line, great catchphrase, very smart. But saying the wrong person's name when you're going to evict someone just makes you look ditzy. I don't think it's a good, strong brand move. It just makes you look like a moron. Even last week when she voted with the minority and she said, but don't let me fool you. I know exactly what's going on. That was great. That was a great brand move because it showed that she was smart and with it and, was making a decision. But this was just I'm stupid and I don't know people's names. It was a very interesting decision on her part. Anyway, that was my aside. I'm just, that's my rant. But anyway, I need Holly to win because I won't be able to handle a week where Kat is HOH, which is going to be funny, but she's going to do something stupid with it anyway. And it's another week where Christy doesn't need to use her friggin' power. So, anyway, there you go. That's my rant.
Good.
I want to bring up Love Island. I know we're talking about Big Brother, but I want to talk about Love Island. And because we're in week two. We're in week three, actually. And I'm into the show. I'm liking it much more than I thought I would in the beginning. I judged it too harshly in the beginning, and it got off on a bad foot with a 90-minute episode. And that makes me sad because I think even if someone gave it one chance, one episode, and didn't like it, I think it was over. And it was not a good episode to start off with. And it's gotten remarkably better. It's so cheesy, but it's the best parts of what Bachelor in Paradise can be without the grossness of Bachelor in Paradise. So I'm enjoying it. I'm keeping up with it. And
so,
it's five episodes a week.
I'm actually, now that I went to my little recast system from Amazon, I can actually view everything from my phone through it, even if I'm at work or on the way or whatever. So I've been keeping up on it. This is what I foresee with this. You just brought up the Bachelorette and, Paradise Island, yada, yada, yada. I foresee this, if it comes back, being a spinoff for the three reality shows they have and having a lot of those cast members on it. They only tested the waters with Winston, which to me was the wrong person to test the waters with through it. But I foresee that that's what's going to happen with this show if they keep it.
Winston is an interesting choice, because no one – no one, the casuals, I don't mean no one as in feed watchers, because of course they'll know Winston, but the casuals are not going to remember Winston.
Right.
That being said, I think Winston was like, I was like, oh, Winston, it's not going to go well for you. But I thought he was interesting. I mean, I like him way better on Love Island than I do on Big Brother. Then again, it's the feeds. There's no feeds on Love Island, so it's like everyone comes off better. But I like Winston way more on Love Island than I did on Big Brother, I'll tell you that much. But
what would be so
I agree
funny
with you.
I think if Brett showed up on Love Island with Kat always wanting to throw in Brett's name, and then Brett is on Love Island like leading into it, and of course it's kind of somewhat live, so it's not like a pre-recorded show. So Brett's off finding love when Kat's, you know, giving her undivided attention to him on the feeds and everything.
Yeah. I mean,
and
what's interesting,
Brett and Winston are bros.
Say that again?
Brett and Winston are bros, so it'd be another dynamic that they would have.
Yeah. What's interesting about this show is that Big Brother likes to celebrate the showmans, and that used to be that's the thing. And Love Island, you have to be the opposite. You have to be single, which I kind of enjoy that. So it's like, all right, like something for the single people that are not like getting into a showmans, you know? All right, like one for them, because not everyone, I don't want people to be in showmanses all the time. So I'm happy about that. And also like it's harder to like fake it and be on that show, because like X on the Beach, which started and Mark and whatchamacallit, Elena are on it this season. They can, you know, they pretended to break up in order to be on the show. And then they got back together once the show stopped filming. And, you know, that's all well and good, because you can do that and you can kind of just fake it for a couple days. But Love Island, you have to actually, like, you're partnering with someone, you're sleeping in bed with them every night. You know, it would be harder to fake breaking up with someone. So I'm down. I guess summer is the best time. I mean, frankly, it's summer, and it's, if you need it to be 5 days a week, it's going to have to be summer. So I hope that they do this again. They would, CBS put a lot of money and time and effort into getting this franchise. This was a very highly sought after show, because the UK version is very popular, very, very popular, and even very popular in the United States, because, you know, people with Hulu discovered it and everybody's watching it. So there were a lot of networks that were like dying to get this show, and CBS won. And I often think this isn't a right CBS. This is not the show for CBS. And I often think this show is not right for 8 o'clock at night. I still think it's dumb that Big Brother is on at 9 and Love Island is on at 8. That should be reversed.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Love Island is a 9 o'clock show. I mean, Love Island should be a 10 o'clock show, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, I hope that they do this again. I'm so glad that they're going to keep it, you know, for the remainder of the season, at least, because at least on the first week, I was worried that they were going to cut it midway through, but I hope they do it again. I'm into it. And also, yeah, man, you suck. You suck for letting go of Alana. Suck. She was the best. You guys were, I mean, just from a game standpoint, what were you doing, man? You're the OGs. Why would you go against your OG for a new girl that no one knows? There's no loyalty there. What are you doing? Alana was all about you. Why would you do it?
He was following his testes. That's all he was doing. The testes were leading him away.
Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That, I mean, that's dumber than what happened with Cliff and Bella this week. What are you doing then? What are you doing? First of all, you guys have to break up Zach and Elizabeth. They are the couple to beat. They're not, and I understand it would be a very boring show if the OGs just stuck together and that was going to be the end of it and, you know, no couples could get in. But that's, and that's essentially what happens in Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm sorry, but the OG that could go is Kara. She drives me insane. Every guy is, and then she starts, they're not good enough for me, or I could be, but I don't want to. It's like she'd put her guard up right away because that way she can say, I wasn't interested anyway when the rejection comes in. She just seems like that type. She finds a way for that. And she's interested in every single guy that comes through the door.
Well, and that was interesting because, you know, from the first day, I mean, you remember she, Casham originally picked her and then she stepped forward for like all the other single guys and she ended up with Casham. And I thought, terrible strategy. You know, he's going to pick someone else because he knows that you're not into him, which is exactly what happened. He went to Kira. And I just thought, she's going to be out in 2 seconds. So the fact that she still is making it through is pretty impressive.
It boggles my brain.
It's impressive. I'm like, wow. But like Elizabeth and Zach are the couple to beat. And
sure.
No one is touching them. And I don't know, like, I don't know what they think they're going to be able to do to compete. I'm trying to remember. So in the UK version, when they get down to the final couples, like America votes to take one out at the very end. And I'm thinking that's the only way that they lose is if America just finds them like so boring that they take them out. But your alternatives are what? Dylan and Alexandra? I'm not super into that. I like her, but him, I can live without him. I mean,
I'm glad the Winston, the girl went home because I think that him and Weston, is that Christy that's with him? Christina?
No, because Christina was with.
Yeah, it's a K or a C word. It's Christy, something like that. And she's from, I think, San Diego or something like that. Anyway, San Francisco. She, I think, and Winston would make a good couple.
That's interesting. It is Kristen. You're right. It took me a second.
I
was like, who is that? Yeah, I was trying to remember everybody.
Blonde go home because I actually have been rooting kind of for those two. And I'm rooting for Weston and her to not work out because I think Winston and her would make a good couple. They're both like really chill adults, I guess you might say.
Yeah, I thought, you're speaking of like bad strategy moves, I thought it was a bad strategy move for Mallory to go to Weston and say that she wasn't into him on the week that he was choosing.
Right.
Because there weren't more guys. It would be one thing if it was the week that she was choosing and more men were coming. But the fact that she said it after she had picked him and it's the week he's choosing and all of these new women are coming. Mallory did not think that through.
But see, are they thinking of it? I don't think they're thinking of it as a game. They're thinking of it as a love connection.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do make the appropriate move, and sometimes they don't. And I think that that's nuts. But I think that they're doing a disservice. I think they're doing a disservice by letting Zach and Elizabeth like dominate this game. And you know, I don't think they realize that they're dominating because they're so. Zach and Elizabeth.
up until their date, though, they haven't even been on the air with, I mean, like, who are they? After the, like, most of this week, they haven't even been on.
Oh, yeah, because they're just, there's no drama. They're just there.
Right.
They're, like, perfect for each other. But, you know, if I were Dylan and Alexandra, if I were Kashem and Kira, I'd be gunning. I'd be like, what can I do? Because those are the couples that are kind of fighting for it now. You know, well, I mean, I don't know. Do I see America voting against Zach and Elizabeth? No, because I think that they would think that they were cute. I don't know how they lose. I don't know how they lose.
They don't.
But I'm digging this show, and I'm happy because I haven't been the happiest with Big Brother this season. So it's like, oh, okay, this is a nice little distraction. I'm digging it.
I'm saying that I'm sticking with it. It could go one way or the other for me. The competition really kind of pissed me off, though, because especially at the beginning, they weren't even having couple competitions. They were having men against women, and then there was nothing at the no outcome at the end. You're the winner.
Yeah, the entire purpose of competitions are to, like, cause drama. Like, it's not about, like, winning or losing. It's just about, like, you know.
But it wasn't even about, like, even making, like, the kissing one maybe made a connection a little bit, but they're, especially the ones at the beginning, wasn't even doing anything for them to form a bond with each other, you know what I mean? Or, like, a connection with one another. What the stupid games they were playing wasn't even anything like that for them.
So I will say that in the UK version, a lot more drama comes out of, like, the silly little games. Like, there's more, like, jealousy, and there's more, like, kind of, like, gossiping, and, like, more comes out of it than what has been happening on this. Like, I get why they do the games, but the result of what they want is not happening as a result of the games.
But I would rather have...
They're going to have to change it up.
...against one another like they did, and then say they get the night away from everybody else, you know, in their own room or whatever, or they got to go on a date or something. Something to where the couples that are together get some benefit out of it, which could either cause drama or not, because you don't necessarily have to pair them with who they're paired with to have the couples compete against one another. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That would cause
drama. Absolutely. You're thinking a little "Are You the One" type situation where,
like, sort of,
you
yeah.
know,
yeah, sure,
yeah. Yeah, Are You the One, where they mix up couples all the time, and that
yep.
puts couples on different dates. Speaking of Are You the One, I love this season. This season's so good. I don't know what the hell. I don't know who the hell is what anymore. I have no idea who these people are couples with. It is so confusing, but I'm here for it. That's why I like it, because I'm like...
Well,
could they be a couple?
I mean,
the spotlights are nuts.
The thing is they should either, since there's so many different possibilities of matching now, I mean, not just, you know, you're going into it with, like, the heterosexual mindset where there are X amount of couples, period. You can have different variations of how they match. So they should have either more dates where they go out and they vote them in the truth booth, or they need to have more opportunities to be able to match lights. They should have something, because think about this. I've been trying to rack my brain. This is next to impossible to figure
yeah,
out. I'm
yeah.
just surprised you've gotten two each time. Well, maybe it's this possibility. No, you got to think in three different scenarios of how it's going to go. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I do the same thing. I'm like, how could this possibly work? How are they, you know? And I'm, you know,
going through from the beginning and writing all the names down and trying to figure it out, like, on paper, because it's baffling my brain.
They have that on Twitter. There's a, I forget what the Twitter name is, but it's the Are You the One calculator or something to that effect, where they like go through and calculate like the percentages of like what someone's match can be based on like who, what, like who's matched up with who in the spotlight ceremonies. And I sometimes look at it. I haven't, you know, to be honest, I haven't looked at it this season and I need to, but they do it every season to kind of like help. It's like, it's this, it's very mathematical and statistical, which I appreciate. I need to check it out this season to see what's going on. But I, what's surprising about, so at the beginning of the season, they said it's no longer, it's not 10 couples, it's 8 couples because it's a more complicated season. But I agree with you. I feel like they need another spotlight. They need another like truth booth opportunity, an additional one, or they need a like extra spotlight, or they need something to help with this process, or even like more dates. Like sometimes when two couples go on dates and the pairing seems so random and they don't have much of a choice, you know what I mean? Like they need something to kind of edge, because at this point I can't even imagine them getting it. I can't even imagine. I mean, that would have to be the most insane thing if all of a sudden they start just nailing it.
For one, I don't know. I haven't picked up on any other than, is it Bastille? Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the only one that I can even think that has a game set mentality to figure it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even a game set mode. They're on a hormonal level. All they're doing, their hormones are raging.
The only pair that I feel pretty sure about at this point is Carrie, just because they've been sitting together at every match, and the one match they didn't, they got a one light. But
I don't necessarily think that's right either, because they changed up everybody else too, and there's not... I mean, there's...
You're right. It's a possibility, but I feel like that's, like, the strongest. And then their strategy with that is, well, if we ever put them in the truth booth and they're a perfect match and they go away, that's, like, our only guarantee of not blocking out and losing $250,000. And that's a very good point.
It is.
But it also stifles, like, stifles the game. I almost wish, I feel like $250,000 is a lot of money to lose in a blackout, and maybe they need to, like, it's like $50,000. Like, the stakes aren't, even though I love high stakes, maybe the stakes aren't as high because say that again.
I said it is a lot when you're spending that many.
It's a lot of money when, well, first of all, you know, $1 million sounds like a lot of money, but when you're sharing it, we've talked about this, when you're sharing it with 16 people, it's not a lot of money per person. So when you're cutting it down by a quarter, that's like devastating to a person. I get that. But with this season in particular, you need to take some swings. And you're not able to take some swings if you have the $250,000 shutout, blackout in the back of your mind. And so I feel like that's like a major hindrance this season. I wish it wasn't as steep. So I agree with you, and I don't know how the hell – and I think we're going to see these matches, and we're going to be like – at the end of this, and we're going to be like, what? That makes zero sense. But – anyway, I am into the season, so it's worth it to me. It's so confusing that I love it. So
yes.
I'll take that. I'll take that, especially since X on the Beach is starting off on not great foot for me. So I'll take Are You the One?
Are You the One, just because it's like not predictable. This particular season. I'm not saying that any other season is predictable, but this is a lot less predictable, and it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, it's 100% why I love it. It's because you can't predict it. You don't know what this is going to be. I wish that, you know, you're absolutely right in your assessment that there isn't a lot, there isn't a strategist in the group, at least one that we've seen so far. There isn't someone that can, like, get everybody together, and there's a lot of loose cannons.
Mm-hmm.
And so that combination is going to make it even harder to, like, get everybody together. We usually see a couple people start, you know, especially in the last couple matchups, really start, like, going, oh, Jesus, we need to get it together. And then they start figuring it out and piecing it together. And I hope that, you know, this group kind of has that. But I don't know. I don't know. I do not know. Anyway.
Before you end, a feed update and kudos to these guys, because I would be dead by now in a casket. All four of them are still up.
Yeah. Oh, God. If I was doing this, Julie would have been like 3-2-1 go, and my ass would have been on the ground. So
that little ground, they'd have been digging that up for me to fall into and then just bury me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's amazing. It's a cool comp. It's something just slightly a variation of what they do, but I dig the variation. Sometimes all you need is a slight variation, so I'll take it. It's one of the best comps. I haven't loved the comps this season, but this is probably my favorite comp that I'm watching so far, so it's good.
Jackson, as big as he is, that he is still on that thing. If this doesn't tell people to get his ass out of there, then they need to be thinking, because that, for him to hang on, those big guys don't hang on to challenges like this.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jack has such a big ego that I'm sure he thinks when the time comes, he'll be able to take out Jackson. And that's not going to be the case. Jackson's going to dominate Jack. And that's what it is, you know? So but unfortunately, Jack's ego will not let him think about that possibility. So,
right.
But anyway, we'll see what happens. Jackson winning it would be, I mean, I would hate to see it. I mean, it would make the show insufferable this week. But like I said, as much as I would want Kat, I could not handle her being so stupid in the game. So, you know, if we're going to have an outsider go home anyway, might as well be on a six-shooter's watch. That's my two cents on the situation. We'll see what happens.
Right.
Anyway, guys, we'll see. Hopefully, let's pray that my girl Nicole's okay. I don't know if she will be, but let's hope. Thanks for everybody for listening. You know, we'll talk some more. We'll talk some more shows next week. We'll get into it, and have a good weekend. Enjoy your vacations. Have a good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.